By now you should have found Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Would you stand with me as I read God's word this morning? Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. I'm going to begin reading there. I'm preaching a series that I'm calling The Biblical Basis for Christmas Carols, and all of them are found in Luke chapter 2. And I want to begin in verse 8, and we're going to read down through verse 14 this morning. Follow along with me, please. The Bible says this: "And there were in the same shepherd countries, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We'll stop right there. The song we're looking at this morning is Joy to the World. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you today that we can come into this room and worship you. And thank you, Lord, that we've been able to lift our voices in song through music and just, Lord, to praise you for who you are and all that you've done. Thank you, Lord, that now we have the opportunity to stand here and to read this blessed book. I pray that you'd open our hearts to receive all that you have to say to us today. And God, I pray that whenever we come to the end of this message, that whatever you ask us to do, that our answer will be yes. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I have a lot to say, so I'm going to kind of dispense with some of the preliminaries and what I had plan to say, but I want to say just a quick thing to you about this great old hymn, Joy to the World. It is one of the favorites. It will be sung all around the world. I think one of the reasons why I like it so much is because Joy to the World celebrates the fact that God has entered into this world in human flesh through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. That song, the words were penned by the man by the name of Isaac Watts, that may be familiar to you. And the tune was penned by a man by the name of George Frederick Handel. What a combination. Isaac Watts and G.F. Handel. Think about that for just a moment. If you might say, well, I don't know who Isaac Watts is. Well, Isaac Watts, when he was a young man, he approached his father and said something like this. He said, Father, I'm tired of the same old songs we sing in church every Sunday. And he looked at him and he said, well, if you don't like them, why don't you write something better? And he did. And he wrote some 600 hymns, one of them being Joy to the World, another one being When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and many others that I can name to you. Isaac Watts was a great hymn writer and a great contributor to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the other guy, now Watts wrote the words, but Handel wrote the tune. He wrote the score for it. Now, if that name is not familiar to you, then you might remember Handel also wrote something that was called The Messiah. Have you heard of it? One of the songs in The Messiah was one called the Hallelujah Chorus. Have you heard of that? As a matter of fact, in my study, I find that whenever Handel wrote The Messiah, it contains 53 songs, and he wrote all 53 of them in 24 hours. Now, if he hadn't put so many hallelujahs in the Hallelujah Chorus, he probably could have wrote it in 12. But when you think about it, Joy to the World, the combination of Isaac Watts and George Frederick Handel is pretty amazing. History says that whenever Watts wrote the song, he actually based the song upon Psalm 98, talking about praising the Lord, and he combined Psalm 98 with Luke chapter 2, our text, verses 10 and 11, and whenever he put them together, he came up with Joy to the world, the Lord is come. I want us to think about that. I want you to go back with me tonight. I'm just so excited these Sunday mornings to spend a little bit of time in Luke chapter 2, and I hope that you are as well. And we're going to look at the passage, the biblical basis for Christmas carols, and the biblical basis here in verse 8 through verse 14 of my text. And the song that we're looking at is Joy to the World. So with your Bible in hand, let's talk about, first of all, the moment of joy. I hope you can listen fast this morning. I've got a lot to say. The moment of joy, and it's found there in verses 8 and 9. I want to say several things to you about the moment of joy. Look at verse 8. It talks about the hearers. And by that I mean the first people to hear about the birth of Jesus were shepherds. Now, shepherds were very common in the land of Israel. They were unassuming men. They were very humble men. They were very common men. And if you were to see a shepherd, you would see a man carrying a rod and a staff. He would also have a cloak, and he would have a bedroll, and probably would also have a flute. He was a shepherd, and he would play his flute to the sheep. And all across the hillsides there in the land of Israel, you would see these shepherds. As a matter of fact, if you were to go to the land of Israel today, it is not uncommon to see shepherds. Every time that I have gone, I have looked out across the horizon somewhere, and I've seen somebody with a sheep, and there's a shepherd taking care of them. They're very prominent in the land. They're very prominent in Scripture. As a matter of fact, some of the most famous people, if that's a good word to say about them, in your Bible were shepherds. David, who was the deliverer of Israel, he was a shepherd. Excuse me, David, the singer of Israel. Moses, he was the deliverer of Israel. He was a shepherd. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. And so it's very prominent in the Word of God. But I think it's very interesting that whenever God wanted to announce the birth of his Son, he announced it to the shepherds who were just common people. I like that because most people in the world today are common people. Did you know that? Most people are common people. Most people in the world today will never appear on television. Most people in the world today will never have their name printed in the newspaper, unless it's when they were born and when they die. Most people in the world today, they don't have millions of followers or friends on Facebook and followers on Twitter. Most people are not like that. Most people are common people. But whenever God said, I want people to hear the life-changing message of my Son, Jesus Christ, God introduced it to common shepherds. And the good news is, he had introduced it to common people just like you and just like me, the hearers. Secondly, look here in verse 8 again. It tells us the hour. The hour, the Bible says, was at night. It was after the sun had gone down. Now, in my mind, I always imagine it as a clear, cold winter night. I have always imagined that the sky has a big moon and lots of stars that are out there in the sky. I have always imagined that perhaps the shepherds now, they had put the sheep down for the night, and they're sitting around by a fire trying to keep warm, and maybe one of them is playing that flute to kind of keep the sheep calm. And so there they are at night, the Bible says, is whenever they heard that announcement. But I think there's something in that. And that is, I think the night is symbolic of the world into which Jesus was born. Jesus was born into a world that was filled with religious hypocrisy. Jesus was born into a world that was also a day of Roman oppression. As a matter of fact, there in Luke chapter 1, in verse 79, the Bible says that Jesus would be born to give light to them that sit in darkness. And that is, whenever you look at the world that Jesus was born into, it was a very dark world. It was a very dark hour. There was a lot of sin. There was a lot of sadness. There was a lot of despair. There was a lot of defeat. And so whenever Jesus was born into that dark world, do you understand that the light of the world was born into a darkened world? And the message of Jesus Christ is light in this darkened world that we're living in even today. Notice a third thing. Look at verse 9. It also tells us the herald. The Bible says the angels showed up. And lo, the angel of the Lord interrupted that darkness. I like the King James Version says, and lo. The New King James Version says, and behold. I put them together and says, lo and behold. The announcement here is the angels came and announced the birth of the Savior. I don't have time to talk a lot about angels tonight, this morning, but you know that whenever you read your Bible, angels are very prominent in the Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that they are ministering spirits. The Bible, when you come to the Christmas story, angels are everywhere. And whenever you read your Bible, angels are everywhere. I don't have time to tell you about all of them in the Bible, but the Scripture says it was an angel who appeared to Mary and told her that she had found favor with God and that she would give birth to the Savior of the world. It was an angel who appeared to Joseph whenever he was in a dream, telling him not to be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And so the Bible says when the angel showed up, it says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. John Phillips says in his commentary, they were bathed in the Shekinah glory, the light of another world. And so the Bible says, here are these heralds, and they're showing up in the darkness. And by the way, when they show up in their light, the darkness has to flee. Do you know that whenever light shows up, darkness has to go away? You find that out tonight. You walk into a room tonight, whenever that room is dark, and you walk in there, and all you have to do is flip that little light switch. And when the light shows up, the dark has to leave. It doesn't matter how determined darkness is to say, I'm going to stay. No, it can't stay. Darkness has to go whenever light shows up. And so here is Jesus, who the Bible says is the light of the world. When he shows up, darkness has to flee. By the way, Jesus also said, you're the light of the world. So my dear friend, whenever you show up, darkness ought to go away as well. And so the Bible talks here about the heralds. Look also in verse 9. I'm trying to hurry up. Are y'all listening fast? The horror, look at verse 9. Also it says, when the shepherds saw that, the Scripture says, they were sore afraid. Now, don't misunderstand. That little word sore translates a Greek word megas, which means large. And then whenever you read that word afraid, it's a Greek word phobia. They were frightened. They were very frightened. As somebody said, they were hugely horrified. So they were very, very afraid. You might say, this is the way we said it back in Oklahoma. It scared the living daylights out of them. I have no idea what that means, but I've heard it all my life. So the Bible says there was horror. They were scared. Why were they scared? Well, number one, they've probably never seen an angel before. If one showed up at your house tonight, you'd probably be sore afraid as well, or you might say it some other way, but they'd never seen it. They'd never seen such an overpowering light as they had seen it. So they were afraid. But let me suggest another reason why they were afraid. It's because they had grown accustomed to the darkness. Do you know that when you can grow accustomed to darkness? You know that you can be in a room, and when the lights first go out, it's very dark, right? And then after a while, you adjust to the darkness, and now you can actually see a little bit. And so it may be that they had adjusted to the darkness. And by the way, remember this, if the darkness is symbolic of the world that they were living in, the sin, the sadness, the despair, the defeat, they had adjusted to that in their life. But when the light came on, all of a sudden they were very, very afraid. Matter of fact, one Greek commentator said that the word afraid there can be translated, they were agitated. They were upset by it. Get it? They were in the darkness. The light came on, and they were agitated. That may happen in your house from time to time. Whenever you go into your child's bedroom in the morning, and you flip on the light, and you tell them it's time to get out of bed, that light is very bright, and you can get agitated because of that. I'm going to say this to you today, and I have to move on. We live in a world today that's very, very dark. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're not careful, you can become accustomed. You can adjust to the darkness, and you think that's just the way the world is. But I'm going to tell you, whenever Jesus shows up and the light comes on, everything changes. As a matter of fact, that may have happened to you in your life some time ago. It may be that you were lost and without Christ, And you adjusted and you were comfortable in your sin and comfortable in that darkness. But there came a time whenever somebody told you about Jesus Christ. And whenever he did, the light came on. It may have been in a service like this. It may have been the living room of your home. It may have been in Vacation Bible School. It may have been at youth camp. But somewhere along the line, the light came on. And all of a sudden, you saw your sin for what it really was. And you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And whenever you did, my dear friend, the lights came on and the joy bell started ringing in your heart. And the Bible says, now here's the moment of the joy. Whenever these shepherds are out here on the hillside, taking care of their flocks by night, and the angel of the Lord appears. That's the moment of joy. Stay with me. Look at verses 10 and 11. I want to talk to you a moment about the message of joy. The message of joy. Look, this is really kind of the heart of the passage. Stay with me, please. Verse 10, it is a peaceful message. He says to them, fear not. By the way, that's a prominent phrase in Scripture, is it not? You find that phrase, fear not. As a matter of fact, you find that in the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, when the angel showed up to Joseph and said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Whenever the angel showed up in Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to speak to Mary, the angel said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I don't know whether this is true or not, but somebody has said that in your Bible, there are the words fear not or their equivalent are found 365 times in your Bible. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but if that is true, that's one for every day of the year. Every time there's a fear in your life. By the way, you know that Jesus Christ, by his fear not, he can untie the fear knots that are in your life. And so he says, fear not. This world, by the way, can make you fearful. There may be somebody here today. You may need to hear the words, fear not, because as you look at the world, you're wondering, are we headed toward another world war? When you look at the world that we're living in today, you may be thinking, how am I going to provide for my family with the rising costs of everything? Or maybe that you look around today and you say, I wonder when the next pandemic is going to come. And if you're not careful, you can be tied up by all the fears in the world today. But I want you to hear the word of the Lord. God says to you, as God says to me, fear not, don't be afraid. It is a peaceful message. Look at verse 10 also. It also says it is a phenomenal message. He said, I bring you good tidings. What's good tidings? It means good news. I bring you good news. I wonder this morning, is there anybody here who could use a little good news? All we hear is bad news, right? Every time you turn on the television, it's bad news all the time. And he said, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news. I've told this story before, but many years ago, I was watching television one night, and some of you old enough to remember that there was a show called The Tonight Show, and the host was a man by the name of Johnny Carson. Anybody in the name remember those names? And you remember whenever Johnny Carson was gone, he was gone quite a bit. But when he was gone, he had another guy who would be the guest host while he was gone. And oftentimes, he asked this guy named Joy Bishop. Anybody remember the name Joy Bishop? Joy Bishop was another comedian. He was his guest. And I remember one night, Joy Bishop was standing in for Johnny. He came to and did his little monologue, and he began to tell all the stories from the news. And he said something like this. He said, all I'm talking to you tonight about is bad news, bad news, bad news. He said, I wish I had some good news. If anybody knows any good news out there, send it to me. I had a little copy of the New Testament called Good News for Modern Man. I don't know how I did it. But I wrapped it up in a package. I don't know what the address I put on it. I don't know if I put Joy Bishop, NBC. I don't know. But somehow I mailed it to him. And I got a postcard back that I still have today. It's a picture of Joy Bishop. And this is what he says. He says, hello, dear Keith. Thanks for the New Testament. Good news for modern man. Signed, Joy Bishop. I want to tell you, there's a world that we live in tonight that needs to hear some good news. There are hundreds of cars that are passing through our property, and they need to hear the good news. And the angel said, I've got some good news for you. And he also said, it's good news, here's the key, of great joy. Great, again, is the Greek word magos, the same word that's translated sore back in sore phrase. It's translated great here. It is a large, he said, I give you good news of great joy. You know what joy is? Now, if you want to understand joy to the world, you need to know what joy is. Joy is an inner peace that cannot be changed by outward circumstances. Let me say that again. Joy is inner peace that cannot be affected by outward circumstances. And whenever Jesus Christ comes into your life, he gives you joy. Not to be confused with happiness. Happiness is on the outside. Joy is on the inside. Happiness is just like it says. Happiness, if things are going good, you can be happy. But if things are going bad, you can be unhappy. And circumstances in your life will make you happy or unhappy. But whenever Jesus Christ takes up residence in your heart, he gives you joy that never goes away in spite of whatever the outward circumstances might be. He said, I'm giving you good news of great joy, peace of heart, peace of mind. The word can mean gladness, bliss, celebration. It is humongous hilarity that he says, I'm giving to you. And by the way, whenever that angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, whatever he says next is better be pretty good. Because he has really lifted the bar right there. So let me say this. Look at verse 11. It is a particular message as well. Listen to this. It is personal. The angel showed up and said to the shepherds, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's break that down for just a moment. It's personal. He said, for unto you. Can I say this to you today? Unto you. This sermon can be preached to a congregation of one. I want you to hear me today. Jesus Christ came into the world to save the world. But Jesus saves individuals. He came to save you. One person at a time. Why? Because you are important. For he said to the shepherds, for unto you. Do you understand? There's nobody like you. There are now 8 billion people on the planet. Did you know that? Back in November, we turned over 8 billion people. But listen to what I'm saying to you today. There's nobody like you. And Jesus came to save you. If you don't understand, look at your thumb, please. Look at your thumb. Y'all aren't looking. I don't have time to wait on you. Look at your thumb. Look at your thumb. You have a thumbprint right there. Are you looking at it? Are you deacons looking at it? Well, I'm going to get mad. Look at your thumb. There's a thumbprint right there. And there's nobody in the world that has a thumbprint like that. Walk out of here today. I want you to know this. You are somebody. And Jesus came to save you. He said it is a personal message. Jesus was born for you. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. So it's a personal message. It's personal. Look also, it is purposeful. He said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, listen to this, a Savior. Don't ever forget this. As we celebrate Christmas time, Jesus came to seek and to save that was lost. Jesus did not come into the world to simply give you a good example, although he was a good example. But he did not come just to give you an example. Jesus came to save you. That is, he's called a Savior. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. What does that mean? For he shall save his people from their sin. What's that mean to save? It means to rescue from danger. It means without Christ, you're without hope. Without Christ, you're bound for hell. And Jesus came to rescue, to save you from danger. Not just an example, but to save the lost. Then notice thirdly here in this same verse 11, it was pointed because he said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And then he says, which is Christ the Lord. Christ means the anointed one. Christ means the Messiah. Christ means he's the one the Jews have been looking for all these years. He's Christ the Lord. It's a term of esteem. It means that he's the master. It means that he's the boss. The confession of Christianity is very simple. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the early Christians said. Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you want to be saved, the Bible says that. Are you listening? If you want to be saved, you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. That he is who this book says that he is. And you see, the reason why God sent his son is because the world's biggest problem is sin. And so he sent us a savior. Friend, listen, your biggest need is not a psychologist. Your biggest need is not a psychiatrist. Your biggest need is not an educator. Your biggest need is not a financial advisor. Your biggest need is not a marriage counselor, although you might think it is. Your biggest need is certainly not a politician. Your biggest need is a savior. So God sent his son Jesus, and that's why we sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Now, y'all done well. Thank you for helping me. I got to the last point, but I want you to see this. I want you to see the manifestation of joy. Look at verses 12, 13, and 14. And I want to see his manifestation in three places. Stay with me, please. Look at verses 12, 13, and 14. Number one, that joy was manifest in a stable. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time here, or I can't. But last Sunday morning, I talked a little bit about this manger. The Bible says he was placed there in a manger. It's a feeding trough for animals. Remember, the Son of God, he was born. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in a castle. Evidently, he was born in a barn where the animals were kept. That's where the manger was. And so, whenever Jesus was born, he was placed in a manger, and then. I've oftentimes wondered whenever he grew up, you know, like other boys, maybe his room wasn't neat, or maybe he walked out and didn't shut the door. I wonder if Mary ever said to him, "Were you born in a barn?" And he'd say, "Well, come to think of it, yeah, I was." And so there he was, wrapped up in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth laid across his body. I'm going to tell you, that from that day to this day, the joy was manifest by that little baby boy in a stable. But look at verse 13. That joy was also manifest in the sky. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host. The Bible says all of a sudden, this one angel who announced that the Savior had been born was joined by what the Bible calls a multitude of the heavenly host. You know how many a multitude is? It is, yeah, that's right, it's a bunch. It is an innumerable amount. You say, well, probably 50. No, you can count to 50. You say, probably 100. No, you can count to 100. Whenever you think of a multitude, it is an innumerable amount. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, that the number of the angels was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, I don't know if they all showed up there that night, but even if just half of them showed up, that's a pretty big choir, is it not? And so the Bible says they're all there, and the scripture says they're manifest there in the sky, and the Bible says they were praising God. By the way, that's what angels do 24/7 around the throne of God. They're always praising God, which means it wouldn't hurt you and I to get in on it every now and then if they're doing it 24/7, which, by the way, that's what you're going to do when you get to heaven. You're going to praise God throughout all eternity. So, my dear friend, if you're not happy praising God down here, I doubt very seriously you're going to be happy praising him up there. So if there's something wrong in your heart, if you're not happy praising God down here, so you ought to practice down here so that whenever you get up there, you say, oh, I know a little bit about this. I've been doing this a little bit when I'm down. You're going to join with the angels who are praising God. And so all of a sudden, the darkened sky is filled with dazzling angels, and they're praising God. So that joy was manifest in the stable. It was manifest in the sky. Notice this, and I'm done. That joy was manifest in the song. They began to praise him. Their song of praise, the Bible said, they sang glory to God in the highest. There's only one God. Can I say that again? There's only one God, and that's the God of Scripture. And the Bible says they were saying glory to God in the highest. They were giving glory and honor to the God of heaven, who had come, wrapped himself up in human flesh, and come to earth. And so they were singing glory to God in the highest. It was a song of praise. Secondly, it was a song of peace. They said, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This baby boy has come to bring peace to every human heart that will receive him. Sometimes people look at that and they misunderstand that. They think, oh, if Jesus came to bring peace to the world, then Jesus was a failure because we don't have peace in the world today. Jesus didn't come to bring world peace. Jesus came to bring peace to your heart and your heart and your heart and my heart. And anybody without Christ is at war with God. But whenever you ask Jesus to come into your life, then there's a peace treaty that will never, ever going away. And so they're singing glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And they're singing in cosmic stereo. There's the shepherds are listening to them. Praise God. Oh, what a night. Which caused this man by the name of Isaac Watts and another man by the name of G.F. Handel to put together and say, joy to the world, the Lord is come. But it doesn't stop there. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. That's the message of joy to the world. Let earth, that would be you and that would be me, receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Is the room in your heart for Jesus Christ? How do you get that joy? Pastor, how do you have that inner peace that outward circumstances doesn't affect it? It's by preparing room in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. By asking him to come in your life, forgive your sin, and be your Savior. It gives you that joy. As a matter of fact, if you'll keep on reading your Bible, you'll come to the book of Galatians, and when you come to chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, you'll find Paul talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. One of the evidences that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior is that he gives you this joy. So you have to, first of all, you receive Jesus as your Savior. And if you've never done that, you'll never know joy until you know Jesus Christ. And so that's the first thing, you receive him as your Savior. Another thing that you do your very best to remain as close to him as you can. You'll be obedient to his word. You follow what he has to say. You'll never be joyful as a believer in Christ if you're disobedient to God's word. If you want to be joyful, also you need to remove sin from your life. By the way, sin is a joy killer. So you don't want to be dabbling in sin. And the scripture says to us on that first Christmas night that they sang this wonderful song. That lets us know that joy has come into the world. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? Or do you just know about him? There's a difference between knowing about him and really knowing him. See, there's a lot of people who have everything I've said, you've got all that information in your head. I haven't said anything new to you today that you didn't already know. You have all that in your head. The question is not whether or not you have it in your head. The question is, do you have Jesus in your heart? And we've said many times, there's some people who are going to miss heaven by about 18 inches. That's about the difference between your head to your heart. You know all the facts, but you've never asked Jesus to come in your heart. You've never given him your life. That's when you get joy. Real joy is whenever you know Jesus as your Savior. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a word of prayer? Right now, I want to ask you to take a moment. Just close out everything, if you will. Just shut everything out going on around you. Would you, just for a moment, would you forget about all the plans you have when you get out of this service and what you're going to do, where you're going to go. Just forget all that, just a moment. Kind of just draw a circle around yourself. And be real honest. Ask yourself, do I know Jesus? Have I ever really placed my faith in Him? If you haven't, I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And if today you believe that God interrupted human history over 2,000 years ago by taking on human flesh and being born in a manger, lived on this planet, died on a cross, resurrected from the dead, if you believe that, and you want to give Jesus your life, pray this simple prayer in your heart. Pray something like this, meaning it with all your heart. If you don't mean it, it doesn't matter. It won't change you at all. But if today you say, I'm ready to give my life to Christ, pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I really do believe that you're God's Son. I believe you came into this world. I believe you died for my sin on the cross. And I believe you rose again from the dead. And today, I want to turn from my sin. I ask you to come into my life. I trust you and you alone to forgive my sin and be my Savior. And from this day forward, I will do my very best to live for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Please help me to live for you. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, in just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing our final song. There are pastors, there'll be pastors down here at the altar area in every aisle. Today, if you've prayed that prayer with me just a moment ago and you meant that with all of your heart, I'm going to ask you, whenever we begin to sing, to slip out from wherever you are and come take one of these pastors by the hand. And all you have today to do is just say something like this: I prayed with the pastor. Say, I asked Jesus into my heart. Say it however you want to. But just today, coming saying, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. That's what you're doing. There may be somebody here today, you've already done that. But God's been speaking to you. Maybe your life has not been lined up with Him and His Word, and God's spoken to you about that today. And maybe you want to come tell a pastor. Maybe you want to ask them to pray with you about that. You come today as well. Maybe some of you today, you say, Pastor, I've been saved a long time, but I've never been baptized, and I know I need to get baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but identifies you as a child of God. And so today, would you come and say, I need to get baptized. By the way, we'll baptize you on Christmas Day. What a great day to get baptized if you've never been baptized. And maybe you say, Pastor, we've been looking for a church home. We've been praying. We believe this is where God wants us to serve. Maybe you say, I attend here, but I'm not a member here. What a great thing to do before 2022 comes to an end to say, I made Westside my church home. I'm not just an visitor, I'm not just on the outside, I'm not just an attender, I'm a member. If that's what God wants you to do, come do it today. Father, right now, please have your way in every life, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.